When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stink of Truth podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stink of Truth podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to Vern's postgame show.
God, a home run! A 3-run homer for Salvador Perez!
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Fournier.
Maybe this is just me. Do you guys ever... You know how Hulk Hogan can rip his shirt off? You know, remember the Hulkster? Remember how he would rip? Do you ever feel like, man, I think I could do that right now if I really put my... all of my energy into it. Hey, let's keep this party going, Kansas City. Great job by the guys inside that victorious Royals clubhouse. Great job by Stu. Great job by Jake. But now let's get the Royals fans involved with this one. Because I promise you, they're still partying in Baltimore, so let's keep the party going back in Kansas City. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. That's 913-586-7965. Royals sweep the Baltimore Orioles, and they punch their ticket to the ALDS. The boys' next stop is New York City. For the fifth time in franchise history, they'll square off with the Pinstripers in the postseason. But before they go to the Big Apple, they're going to come home, take a few days off before game one, Saturday night, right here on 96.5. First pitch, 5:35. For my military men and women out there, that first pitch time, 17:38. Michael Wacha squares off with Garrett Cole. That's coming up on Saturday, but right now, we can just party. Because playoff baseball is on its way back to Kansas City. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. Game 3, Wednesday at Kauffman Stadium. Playoff baseball will once again rock in Kansas City. Wednesday night, maybe Thursday for Game 4 if necessary, or maybe the Royals just continue to do what they've done so very often over the years, steamroll people in the postseason. Boy, oh boy, 913-586-7965, and I'll be quite honest with you, I want to party with you. I want to relive this outstanding baseball game. I want to do it with you. But if you've listened to this show over the course of these now 164 games this season, a game like this, when the Royals perform like this, some of you know, I don't need you. I want you. You deserve this. You are the Royals fans that these guys, Michael Massey, Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, and the rest, it's about you. You're the ones they're excited to bring this thing back to Kauffman Stadium for. It's not me. But I'm in love with this game. I'm in love with what this team did today because it is who they've always been. Today, the Royals were who the Royals have been all season long. The standard was indeed met in Baltimore. In the biggest moments, the way they've done it all year long is the way they did it today. is the way they got it done in October. Starting pitching, defense, team speed, and the best damn player on the planet. Now, credit to Matt Cutrero. I'm not going to sit here and act as if I was cheering on the decision to pull Seth Lugo there in the fifth inning. Although, Angel Zerpa would have been my choice. I told you throughout this week that if I had to pick a dark horse candidate, a unsung hero candidate from the pitching staff, I told you, Angel Zerpa. If I had to pick an unsung hero from the offense, I went Michael Garcia. Freddie Fermin as well. Watch out for Freddie coming up this weekend in New York. Yeah, I was riding with the Venezuelans in this series against the O's. Zerpa, Michael, and Freddie Fermin. Now, we never saw Freddie Fermin, but Michael Garcia got nice in game one. Angel Zerpa does the job. Bases juiced with only one out in the fifth inning, and he gets out of it. Angel Zerpa was so nasty, a guy struck out on a 97-mile-per-hour fastball that hit him. So credit to Matt Cutrero, who hit all the right buttons once again. Credit to the bullpen for executing. And you know, that's really the difference in this. The Royals won the way that they've won all season, sure, but with a twist. All right, starting pitching, defense, team speed, the best player on the planet with a twist. And that twist being, this bullpen's nasty. Zerpa, Schreiber, Long, Bubich, Urseg combined to throw 4 2/3 innings of one-hit relief. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. Let's go to the phone calls. Let's start out in Lee Summit. Logan, you're hitting leadoff tonight. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. It's been a long time since I've called in, buddy. I think you might remember me, but I don't think that I've got so many thoughts. I don't think I could possibly put them all together the way that you can. But my first thought is the Royals are doing what the Diamondbacks did last year. They had a completely different bullpen at the end of the year last year, to where I haven't felt this good about a bullpen coming out of the pen since 2015. This, what JJ has done is absolutely incredible. Every move that Q makes is good because what JJ has put out in that bullpen. It is absolutely incredible, and, man, I'm so glad to see you go through this again, man, because you deserve it after all you've done. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and in no way am I going to pat myself on the back, but because I have been here for way too long, when you say, hey, I feel as confident, I haven't felt this confident in a bullpen since 2015. As someone that has grinded through the past 9 years, there hasn't been much to like since 2015. So I'm going to take that praise with a grain of salt towards the bullpen. Yeah, the bullpen's been terrific, no doubt. But there's still another test, right? Test coming up starting on Saturday. Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, and the rest of those monsters in the Bronx. But listen, the way things set up, in no way should you feel intimidated by the Yankees. I don't know if you heard what Denny Matthews had to say, but he said it over and over and over and over again. And if Denny's going to say something that many times, you better listen. And his message was, Yankees beware. When Denny's confident, I'm uber confident. You should be through the roof confident. Because with the off days, listen how things line up for the Royals. Michael Wacha in game one on Saturday. Cole Reagans Monday night in game two. Game three comes up on Wednesday at Kauffman Stadium, and you can go Seth Lugo in that game. Game four the next night, Michael Wacha on regular rest if that game's even needed. And then if game five is needed, it's next Saturday in New York, and it's regular rest for Cole Reagans. So Brady Singer, anyone outside of the top three in this rotation, nobody else is going to get a look. Yeah, things line up quite well, especially when it's now a bullpen that you feel like is a strength. And I've mentioned it countless times on this postgame show over the past few months that I had some nervousness in preparation for tournament baseball. Not this wild card series where it's day in and day out, three straight days. But when you're getting those off days, right? Royals play Saturday, don't play Sunday, play Monday, don't play Tuesday, the day on, day off thing. I thought it was going to expose the Royals bullpen, to be quite honest with you. Because with those days off, teams with multiple quality options in the bullpen can ride those dudes for multiple innings in every single game. You know, HDH, that's what we always like to go back to, right? When you have that many off days, H, D, and H can all pitch multiple innings, added up. That's six innings from them alone. So you only needed three from your starter. What I'm saying is tournament baseball is a completely different game. And it's a game that certainly prioritizes strikeout stuff out of the bullpen. Big velocity out of the bullpen. Well, suddenly that's what the Royals have. I didn't think they would find it this season. I thought, yeah, Lucas Urseg was a stud, but it was a giant drop-off after Urseg. But now, as I mentioned, Angel Zerpa pumping 97 past the eventual American League Rookie of the Year. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I swore I saw John Schreiber throw 95 past Urias. Now, Chris Bubich is running it up there in the mid-90s. Yeah, suddenly, tournament baseball, bring it on. Yeah, I'll ride our big arms in the bullpen if we need to, but shoot, the way it lines up, Waka, Reagans, Lugo, those three might be able to do it themselves. Let's go back to the phone calls. LaRon in Kansas City. You're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. I really think this was a great game today. I felt like Nick, even when the bases were loaded and there was one out, there was never a doubt that the boys were going to pull it through today. Let's go to New York. Let's bring it back home for the Royals, and let's remain Royals. Let's go Royals. Thank you, Vern.
Yeah, and listen, I've gone too long without talking about the defense. Starting pitching, defense, elite team speed, and the best player on the planet. That's been the standard all season. Now, you could throw in the clutch trio, Bobby, Salvi, and Vinny. How about Vinny Pasquantino, by the way? Now, how about that first inning, by the way? Another inning of core execution. Meaning, like yesterday, that one run that the Royals scored in Game 1 of this series, Michael Garcia with the walk and then the stolen base, and then Massey advances him to third and Bobby drives him in. Three players in Michael, Massey, and Bobby that all endured that 106 loss season last year. Guys that passed the evaluation season to where J.J. Piccolo says, you are a part of the core, you are back. In 2024, we believe we can win with you. Well, look at that first inning tonight. Michael Massey, great at-bat. A six-pitch at-bat. And the sixth pitch, Zach Eflin yanks a changeup into Massey's nitro zone, and he yanks it down the first base line just over the first base bag for a leadoff double. Bobby Witt Jr., execution. Advance that runner to third. He does just that. I don't know how he did it. He had 94 running in on his neck, and he fights it off to the opposite field. So now with the man on third and one out, what does Vinny Pasquantino do? What he's done all season, of course. Pulls a sinker down to the zone, pulls it to the right side, as ladies and gentlemen, Vinny was ready to hit, yes. But being able to drive in runs at a consistent pace, that's a skill. And there are not many players on this planet still playing that have more of that skill than Vinny Pasquantino. So the clutch bats were just that. The team speed was on display, as if it's not for Bobby Witt Jr.'s elite speed. This game could still be going on. Who knows? Bobby's game-winning RBI there in the sixth inning, an infield single. Now, he smoked that bad boy. Let's not get it twisted. 109 miles per hour off of the bat. smokes one up the middle, a 97-mile-per-hour sinker in the middle of the dish. Bobby blasted up the gut. Great diving play there by the second baseman, Jordan Westberg. But Bobby's too fast, man. You can't make that play. You know, elite speed is like 30 feet per second. Bobby going down the first baseline there in the sixth inning, 31.3 feet per second. So again, the clutch bats, the best player on the planet, the team speed, the starting pitching, and the defense. Now with a twist. Now with a darn good bullpen. Shout out to the defense of Michael Massey and MJ Melendez, both with game-changing plays tonight. Let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7965. Royals punch their ticket to the ALDS. Game one coming up on Saturday night, right here on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan. Let's go to Marshall in Spring Hill. Marshall, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Vern, I'd ask you how you're feeling, but I think I know the answer. So
I'm doing well.
I'm sitting on the porch just enjoying a nice post-game beverage. And, you know, it's 2 hours since we've won this thing, and my heart is still pumping a billion miles an hour.
Yeah.
One thing that I just am baffled by, Michael Massey with two hits at the leadoff spot tonight. I know we didn't do anything with it, really. But, hey, we get out to Yankee Stadium with that
in the first
porch. You're right. Yes, you are. Let's talk about going to Yankee Stadium. Let me get a leadoff double for Michael. Push him over. Let's see Vinny go deep.
Please.
Hit that short porch in right field, big lefty. Let's do it. Go Royals. Let's take these boys down in three. Thanks, Burns.
Yes, sir. Why not? Marshall, the only reason why I would say, you know what, now let's let this go four. Not because I'm getting any of the tickets, not because I'm in John Sherman's pocket, not because I want him to make more money, but because Thursday is Vinny Pasquantino's 27th birthday. So that home run that you want to see him hit, instead of it being Saturday in Yankee Stadium, how about game three, the day before his birthday, the final day of his age 26 season? Can you imagine, Vinny? Again, it's a month ago that this guy underwent surgery on his thumb. Have you seen the picture yet? Have you seen the post-surgery picture of that right thumb for Vinny Pasquantino? Oh, my God. That's a month ago and you're out there swinging the bat? Not just swinging the bat, swinging it well. RBI single in the first inning. A 100-mile-per-hour exit velocity rocket to right field in the fifth. Draws a walk in the sixth. Vinny hasn't played a big league game in a month prior to yesterday, and he's 2-for-7 in the postseason with two walks and a run driven in. The toughness, the commitment, the sacrifice, the work ethic that Vinny Pasquantino has showed over the past month, man, has taken my respect for him to another level. And you know I already respected him. I mean, for God's sakes, I've been calling the dude the undeniable one for more than a year now. But yeah, man, that would be nice. I mean, not with the way that Massey's swinging it, Vinny Pasquantino's swinging it, we all know the power that Bobby and Salvi have to the opposite field. There's no doubt about it. The Royals could be forcing Juan Soto to turn around and look up quite a bit coming up starting on Saturday in the Bronx. Marshall, thanks for the phone call. 913-586-7965. Royals win 2-1. My game notes after this wild card series clinching victory. My game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know when call Jay's Southland Tow. We go back to the phone calls and Luke in Prairie Village. Luke, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead, pal.
Vern, awesome. Again, I've called in a few times. I love tuning in to you when we win, but I especially tune in when we lose and I'm all pissed off and I got to hear your take. And that's what you were for me the last, I mean, definitely during that seven-game, well, the first seven-game losing streak, the second seven-game losing streak. And I just feel like you're getting to the point where, I don't want to call you old because I'm probably older than you, but you've seen enough baseball now where you're starting to see patterns that a lot of us don't see, and you're kind of trending Denny Matthews on that. And one of my case in points is, week and a half ago, you said, I've got my feet up on the desk. Oh, we're good. And I was like, my heart was just pounding and pissed. And I was, but you were so calm about it that I was like, all right, Vern sees something that I don't, kind of in a Denny way. And sure enough, here we are. postseason and now through the first wild card, and you were right. So that's my first thing. I got two more points.
Sure.
Secondly, thank God for even keel leadership. I mean, you got Q that was upbeat after that 7-game losing streak, and he said, yeah, we had a bad week. Now we got to have a good week, and we did. And then we're in the playoffs. Bullpen patience, Zerpa and Long. I'm sure a lot of us were like me this year where we were just like, I'm done with these guys, get rid of them. And we didn't do that. We stuck with them. I say we, I mean Royals leadership stuck with them, gave them the experiences to get them to where they are now, mental strength, work on their pitching, all this stuff. And now we damn near got an HDH going here, you know, and it's incredible. And I'm appreciative of management and our leadership. Letting them make mistakes. And lastly, I guess maybe this is on a kind of the, I've got my eyebrow up, but I feel like the last, this is not a complaint. I want your opinion. The last 30 days, Salvi with runners in scoring position, it just feels like he's struggling. Is he still trying too hard? That's all I got. I'm pumped.
Appreciate the phone call. Here's the thing. As far as like the last 30-day thing, man, I don't know how fair that is. I don't know. I mean, what I was going to say is it's not that I want to dismiss that, but the postseason's such a different animal with the pitching that you're facing. Now, Salvi today, 1-for-4. 1-for-4 yesterday. Two of his outs were loud, right? He hits a rocket in the first inning yesterday at the third baseman. Blast one to deep left in the fourth inning. Blast one to deep right. Singles in his third at-bat. So I thought Salvi had a good day yesterday. Yes, he punched out in the ninth on a slider well off the plate, but that's nothing new. Right? He did it again in the first inning with a man on first and one out. Yeah, you just have to accept that to a certain extent from Salvi. But no, watching him today, I didn't see any of the pressing. I don't know if I ever saw Salvi pressing. What I saw Salvi trying to do was pick up the offense with one swing of the bat. I thought he did that a lot in September. To me, there's a difference between wanting to be the hero for selfless reasons. Right? Salvi did that basically throughout the 2023 and 2022 and 2021 seasons where, man, Salvi, we need you to run into that big flyer. We got no chance. So I think that's what it was, in my opinion, in September. But since the calendars flipped to October, even today, I mentioned the punch-out swinging at a sweeper out of the zone from Zach Eflin in the first. He singles to center in the third. He's hit by a pitch, the second pitch that he sees in the fifth. Bases loaded in the sixth, and he swings at a changeup in the dirt from a nasty right-hander, Yainer Cano. And then Salvi's fifth trip to the dish, he hits a rocket to left, 106 miles per hour off of the bat. So that's not a bad day in my mind. I know the punching out with the bases juice stands out, but MJ Melendez did that as well. Colton Cowser did that as well. Right, he had bases juiced with two outs for the Royals in the top of the fifth. Bases loaded, nobody out in the bottom of the fifth for Baltimore. Bases loaded, two outs in the top of the sixth for the Royals. And not once was a run scored. How wild is that? Royals win the game. They take the series. They sweep the Orioles and now punch their ticket to New York in the ALDS that begins coming up on Saturday. Salvi with the game tonight, his 33rd playoff game. That's fourth most in Royals franchise history. Only George Brett, Frank White, and the great Hal McCray have played in more. Salvi now with 48 total bases, 124 playoff at-bats. Each of those numbers good for fifth most in Royals playoff history. 913-586-7 96.5. Let's go to West in Kansas City. You're next up on the postgame show. West, go ahead.
Vern, what a night. How are we doing tonight, brother?
Great. How are you?
Oh, pretty good, I have to say. So I wanted to ring in, give you a call back. We talked last time back in June, right after one of those games here in Kauffman against the Yankees. And I said something that very fairly you disagreed with. And I made the point that I thought from, you know, obviously my great perspective sitting in the outfield seats, that our bats looked scary against their pitching. I thought we faced big, bad Yankees, and we kind of looked like a bunch of cowards. I didn't think we had great approaches. I thought we had, you know, trepidatious swings. Well, I will fully admit, guess who's eating crow tonight, Vern? It is I, because guess who came up tonight and last night? Not many times, but just enough to get them across and obviously make it onto the weekend, the Royals. We had a couple gentlemen, obviously, in Bobby and in Biddy, that we had some grown men who had some grown man at bats, and gee dang it, I'm happy as heck, and I'm glad I was wrong.
I am as well, Wes. I appreciate you placing that phone call and calling yourself out from something back in June. Most people don't have the spine to do it, but I like hearing from you. Yeah, that Yankees series, I'm not going to dismiss it, right? It happened. They dropped 3 of 4. Big, you know, thank God Alec Marsh was a boss in that finale. But that was also in that two-week stretch where Michael Wacha was out with a broken foot. To me, that wasn't the Royals. The Royals of 2024, as I said right out of the gate, they are predicated on starting pitching, defense, and team speed, especially when the Yankees came through, especially in the first half of the season. Now, first half of the season, the rotation was doing almost all of the heavy lifting. Yeah, Bobby and Salvi were doing their thing, but that's about it. There wasn't much going right in that 1-9. Now, Vinny wasn't red hot just yet. Hunter Renfroe hadn't completely heated up just yet. So when Michael Wacha went down, to me, you had Daniel Lynch make a start, Dan Altavilla made a start. That was a rough time. Yankees were feeling good. Lord knows they came to Kauffman Stadium, had way too many Yankee fans there. I don't think that's going to be a problem next Wednesday night for Game 3 at the K. I don't think that's going to be a problem at all. Royals win their fifth straight postseason series victory. 5 in a row. They've won 9 of their last 10 postseason series dating back to 1985. 2-1 the final score. I want to hear what Bobby Witt Jr. had to say to the media after the game.
We'll start with Jalen on your left.
Bobby, first and foremost, how does it feel to get the Royals to the ALDS and guaranteeing a game at the K?
Unbelievable. This is what we worked for in the offseason, in spring training, and just we wanted to bring it back to KC, and I keep saying it, that's what we wanted to do, and now we're doing it, so we just got to take things one day at a time, one step at a time, like we've been doing, and it's unbelievable doing it for the fans, and so I can't wait to play a game there, but first, go to New York.
Take me through just your thought process when you hit the ball up the middle. You always hustle to get down the line, but how important was it for you to get down there, because you know you had to run that potentially scoring?
Yeah, Westberg made an unbelievable play up the middle, and so I just had to try to run at that point. And so, yeah, that's really it.
Melanie?
Bobby, what was going through your mind with Zerpa and just kind of the way he attacked that fifth inning with the bases loaded, one out, and was successful in getting out?
Yeah, that's just the competitor in him. He's just going to go in there and attack, and that's what our whole pitching staff, bullpen, all did these past two games. So it's been unbelievable just what they did, and they're the reason why we're in those games. And so it was great.
A fourth row in the middle,
Bobby. Bobby, to be able to knock in both the runs that win games in this series, what's that like for you, and to be able to do it on a stage like this?
Yeah, that's the fun part of this game. This is why we do it, these situations here, and it just really just comes down to trying to control what I can control, just be present in that moment, be where my feet are, and enjoy the moment, because you never know when this opportunity ever is going to happen again, so got to make the most of it while you have it.
Same row, Bobby, on the left.
Back on Monday, you talked about how this team, you know, was focused on creating its own legacy because, you know, everybody in Kansas City was talking about the 14 and 15 teams. through two games, you know, how has this team done that so far?
Yeah, I think it's the start of something special. Like I keep saying, we didn't come this far just to come this far. And so we're just going to keep getting after it and keep trying to create our own legacy. And so it's pretty special to see what this team has done this year from what happened last year. And so now we just got to keep doing it.
And on your right, Bobby.
Were there any moments late in the season where you ever doubted this? Were there any tough points where you doubted this? And at what point did you kind of know that this group was capable of going, making the playoffs and then winning a round?
Honestly, when we showed up to spring training, and as cliche as that sounds, that's just with this team, you could just feel it, how special it was, and just how guys just really came together, and our ultimate goal was to win. And so the stats come as they go, but we wanted to win each and every night. And so once everyone's mentality was that, that's when we knew.
Jalen, on your left, Bobby.
You guys had a couple of big defensive plays. MJ's play in left field, Michael Massey's defensive diving stop and recording the out. Just those moments, what did that do for the whole team to believe that we can take this home today?
Yeah, that's why we're in those games. It's because defense, and that's what we preach as Royals, and we play defense, run hard, be aggressive, and so that's what we got to do to keep winning.
A little bit further back on your left.
Just to kind of put this into perspective, do you remember what you were doing at this time last year?
At home, not playing baseball for sure. It's special, and so we want to keep playing as long as we can, and so this is an amazing team, and so I'm really looking forward to what's to come.
Other questions? Jalen.
One more. What would you tell your 15-year-old self? Because this was the last time the Royals were in the postseason, you were 15 years old. Just about the history of the team and things of that nature. And did you ever see yourself potentially being right here in this moment?
This is, like I said, this is what you dream about. And 15-year-old self, I was dreaming. And so now we're here. And so we got this opportunity right here. And so we got to make the most of it. We got to enjoy each and every day, enjoy today, and then focus on the next task at hand.
One last one for Bobby. All right, Bobby, go rejoin the celebration. We'll see
you. Yeah, go have a good time, Bobby. Turn up, baby. Turn up. There you go. Bobby Witt Jr. Another two-hit day. He had like a billion of them this season. You know, you just marvel at the names, the Hall of Famers that he rubs elbows with, like statistically. You know, the season that he put up, you know, it hasn't been done since Rogers Hornsby. You know, you haven't seen a player do this since Ty Cobb. Bobby Witt Jr.'s played two playoff games. He's driven in the game-winning run in each of them. The only other player in baseball history that's done that, Hall of Famer Jimmy Fox, who was born in 1907. These are the people. These are the, not contemporaries, but these are the comparisons to Bobby Witt Jr.'s freakish feats. Jimmy freaking Fox, double X. That was back in 1929 when Jimmy Fox did that. I mean, 95 years ago? Unbelievable. His first big league game, game-winning RBI. His first playoff game in the show, game-winning RBI. His second playoff game in the show. Man, look at his day. First trip to the dish with a man on second and nobody out. He does his job. Hits the ball to the right side. Gets Massey to third and sets the table for Vinny to drive him in. Second trip to the plate with nobody on and one out. Bobby smokes one to left field. Oh my gosh. An elevated cutter demolished 109 miles per hour off of the bat into left field. Bobby's third trip to the dish. One out, nobody on. Falls behind 0-2, and then he hits a rocket to the hole on the left side. Great play. Strong throw by Gunnar Henderson is the only reason they get Bobby. A great play by the Orioles shortstop. And then with two on and two out in a tie game in the sixth inning, Bobby Witt Jr. steps to the plate. They could have walked him. They chose not to. They went at a guy that, in my opinion, is the best all-around player on the planet. Brandon Hyde once again says, you know what, I guess I will be able to sleep if I allow Bobby Witt Jr. to knock me out of the postseason. Because that's what happened, my friends. Listen, I'm not saying that I would have walked him yesterday or put four fingers up to Corbin Burns and said, put this dude on. I'm not saying that at all. But Brandon Hyde has to lay his head on the pillow tonight knowing that Bobby Witt Jr. had a pair of game-winning RBIs with the guy hitting behind him with a busted thumb grinding through some pain that I can't even imagine what Vinny's playing through right now. But Bobby Witt Jr. in that fourth at-bat with two on and two outs takes that 1-1 offering and laces it up the gut. A 97-mile-per-hour sinker in the middle of the plate leaves his bat like a freight train dead set on center field. A diving play by the Orioles second baseman is nice, but Bobby's too fast. You're not getting him. Maybe he had a play at second base. Maybe he could have nabbed Michael Massey at second base, but he didn't see Gunnar Henderson was as close to the bag as he was, so the Orioles second baseman, Jordan Westberg, tried to get Bobby at first. He had no chance. Bobby goes 2-for-5 with, again, the game-winning RBI knock. Our nightly Wit Watch is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Visit communityamerica.com to join. Member-owned, open to all, invested in you. Let's go to Connor from the Dot. Connor, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Vern, how you feeling, man?
Great, Jesus. Buddy.
I mean, I thought I was prepared for this. I really thought I was, but I just forgot how it was to live and die by every single pitch. Yep. In the last two games, we've been partying hard, watching these games, and I just can't believe it. I mean, after the September we had, I'm going to be honest, I was kind of out on this team, and I didn't think we would be here. But here we are talking about the bullpen. The bullpen, that was our Achilles heel the entire season. Yep. And they've just been lights out in the playoffs. It's unfreaking believable. And Bobby Witt, two game-winning hits in his first two playoff games. That man's made for the moment.
You mentioned the bullpen, 7 2/3 innings of two-hit relief so far in the postseason. It's been amazing, Connor. And now you're giving guys like Michael Massey and Michael Garcia and how about Kyle Isbell on base safely three times today. Izzy's hit by a pitch. He singles on a ball that he just smashed off the plate. And then he draws a leadoff walk in the eighth inning. But my point is, all season long, the rotation, the defense, the team speed, and the best damn player on the planet. That's been the standard. But now that standard has a twist, that the bullpen is now, I'm not going to say elite, but good enough to bang with anybody in the big leagues, I'll tell you that right now. And now guys like Michael and Massey, Izzy, you know, maybe MJ Melendez, who hit a rocket to the opposite field in his final trip to the dish today in the seventh inning. Give those guys some confidence and look out. You know, you call the bullpen, Connor. You called it the Achilles heel of the season. No doubt about it. It is no longer. So what is the Achilles heel? I guess the offense, right? An offense that has mustered 3 runs and 14 hits over the course of the first two playoff games. Nothing to hang your head about, especially when it equates to 2 wins. But if the offense is the Achilles heel, and they're finding confidence, then what? Well, then you're talking about one of, if not the most well-rounded team in all of Major League Baseball. And don't get it twisted. All the pressure is on New York, just like all the pressure was on Baltimore. I've talked about it all season. You know, a caller brought up earlier about how, Vern, you've had your feet up, right? You've had your feet up for the past few weeks. You're just enjoying these final few weeks. While others were panicking, Vern, you had your feet up. Yeah. Yeah, I did. Because the Royals, in my opinion, never ascended to a place where I was going to be irate if they didn't make the playoffs. That I never got to that point. At any point this season, it was always, there's no excuse to fall out of the race. That was as extreme as it got for me this season. But the Orioles, on day one, it was World Series or bust. Every year for the New York Yankees, it's World Series or bust. Now, inside that Royals clubhouse, I'm telling you this, it's World Series or bust. They're not going to be happy with anything short of a crown. But the way I view it, I mean, yeah, I know some people hate it when I say they're playing with house money. As an organization, they are playing with house money. If they fall short to the Yankees, it has been a magical season. If they beat the Yankees, well, then the magic just continues. 913-586-7965. I've gone 45 minutes without taking a commercial. I'm getting yelled at. So quick timeout. We get right back to your phone calls as the Royals move on to the ALDS, knocking out the Orioles in Game 2, winning by a final count of 2-1. We're back to your thoughts after this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City. 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
The 1-1. Junior, it's a ground ball up the middle, and that is going to be a diving play by Arias. Throw to first on a bounce is late. And Bobby Witt Jr. reaches with an infield single, so no great play on the infield this time to beat him to first base. And Bobby Witt Jr. with an infield single drives in Kyle Isbell, and the Royals take a 2-1 lead.
And they would make it hold up, as in the bottom of the sixth inning, Angel Zerpa and John Schreiber go through the bottom of the Orioles lineup, 1-2-3. In the seventh inning, Schreiber and Sam Long retire the side, needing just 16 pitches. In the eighth inning, Chris Bubich needs only 9 pitches to take care of the heart of the Baltimore lineup. And then Lucas Urseg, 9-pitch ninth inning for his second save in as many days. Urseg, the fourth pitcher in franchise history to have multiple postseason saves. 2-1 the final score. Royals sweep Baltimore and now punch their ticket to the ALDS. Game 1 coming up on Saturday. It's a 5:38 first pitch. Yeah, 17:38 first pitch Saturday night right here on 96.5 The Fan as Michael Wacha squares off with Garrett Cole. Monday is game 2 in the Bronx with Cole Reagans. Now, these starters have not been announced by the team. I'm just using my... I'm just assuming. Seth Lugo in game 3 on Wednesday at Kauffman Stadium. And then, if necessary, Michael Wacha in game 4 at Kauffman Stadium on Thursday. Game 5, if necessary, in the Bronx next Saturday. Royals and Yankees meet up for the fifth time in baseball postseason history. Royals took all three the last time these two teams met up back 44 years ago. Lifetime, the Royals are 3-5 in New York. Well, they've never played at this stadium. They were 3-5 at the old stadium. about to take in the new digs in the Bronx. Again, 5:38 for the first pitch coming up on Saturday. I see the text line curious as to why there's a day off in between game one and game two. A little thing we like to call the National Football League. Yeah. Now, you got New York playing. Let's make sure we're not battling the NFL, even though Monday night the Royals will be battling their owner, Patrick Mahomes, and the Kansas City Chiefs. How about that? Yeah, Chiefs football on 96.5 The Fan. I have to guess Royals game two of the ALDS will be on our sister station, The Fan AM 610. John writes in on the text line, Vern, how are we going to get past the Yankees if we can't score more than two runs? Well, John, you're not. Unless you hold them to one run or you shut them out like they did tonight and last night. You don't need to look for something to worry about. There's no reason to worry about anything. Put your damn feet up. Light up a stogie, have a cold one, or maybe don't, you know, go right to the vices. Go work out. No, I don't know. I'm all vices, basically. So pick one of your favorite vices and go do that instead. There's no reason to worry about anything. Like I said 7 hours ago on the On Deck Show, you have the most powerful weapons in the sport. We've been saying that since April. As long as Patrick Mahomes shows up on Sundays, you feel like you have a pretty good chance of winning, right? Well, the baseball equivalency to a franchise quarterback is an elite rotation, elite defense, and elite team speed. Because it doesn't matter who's on the other side, how great they are. If I have this, I have a chance. I don't care who. Bring on the steel curtain defense of the Steelers in the 70s. I'll take Mahomes. Bring on Judge and Soto. Jazz Chisholm and Giancarlo Stanton. Bring them all. I got Reagans and Lugo. Did you see the catch from MJ? Did you see the diving play today from Michael Massey? How about the ease in which Bobby Witt Jr. goes to the hole, makes the backhand, and unleashes a rocket to first base? Look at what team speed has already done for this team in two games. Case can be made that the team speed has been the difference. Right? Both teams have pitched well. Both Baltimore's pitching staff did a good job. But Bobby's speed won the game. Mikel's speed won yesterday's game. Don't look for things to worry about. Put your feet up. You can beat anybody. You know, I say I'm not going to find myself disappointed at any point this season. The only way I could find myself even dismayed or bummed out briefly is if that standard isn't met. If you want to worry about something, worry about the pain that you would feel if a defensive miscue or a base running blunder cost you a game. Think about the pain you would feel if Cole Reagan's great season is marred by one bad outing. Seth Lugo's breakout campaign is sullied because of a stinker. Now that's what I worry about. But the offense, no. If the offense is the reason why you fall short in October, man, it's been a great run. I can't believe you went so far with three dudes doing all the heavy lifting. If the bullpen's the reason why you fall short, I can't believe how good they've been. So sure, time ran out. Oh, well. Man, I'm ready for next season. I'm ready to watch the rest of Bobby Witt Jr.'s career. It's a great time to be a Royals fan. Great time to be a Kansas City sports fan. And there is not a single reason to be a concerned Kansas City sports fan. Mahomes and Bobby? Salvi and Kelsey? JJ and Brett Veach? Man, you should always walk around with your chest out, daring people to start something. Just walking past people. Hey, what's that on your head? Is that an Orioles hat? No, okay. Just accosting people. Are you a Yankees fan? All right, good. Just checking. Oh, man, listen. this city has seen its confidence, you know, multiply to the 100th degree over the past decade because of what Haas and the boys did, what Patrick and the guys continue to do. But with what Bobby, Salvi, and these guys are now doing, man, you guys got to start getting obnoxious. I know people are already starting to dislike Kansas City. You got to make them hate you. You got this baseball team and that football team, cut it out. Rub it in everybody's face endlessly. Let's go to Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my phone call. Look, I was not concerned one bit throughout the game. I know our bullpen has been setting it up. I already got tickets to next Wednesday's game. I'm sitting in the outfield. I'm going to be there 45 minutes before the gate opens. I'm ready for this crowd, and this is about to be the best sporting event I've ever been to, Ben. Vern, I'm so excited for next Wednesday. I'm so excited.
Well, I'm happy for you, Garrett. Thank you very much for the phone call, buddy. You deserve it. Garrett's been locked in to this team and this postgame show. Man, I mean, every game of last season's 106 loss disaster. Garrett was grinding through, bud. Man, I hope you have a good time. I know you're going to have a good time coming up on Wednesday to hopefully watch the boys finish off a sweep of the Bronx Bombers. Royals are the first team in baseball history to lose 100 games one year and win a playoff series the next. Let's go to Showtime in Kansas City. You're next up on 96.5 The Fan. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Vern. Once again, Big Bob and the boys taking care of business in Baltimore and getting it done. And the pitching and the bullpen especially is looking good. Chris Bubich, Sam Long, and Hal Zerpa, but I'm calling to talk about my guy. Lights out, Lucas Erceg, back-to-back days. Lights out, Lucas Erceg. I don't have the stats in front of me, Vern. I'm sure you do, maybe you could tell me, but he's quickly moving up the Royals' all-time postseason list of saves. You got him going in the ninth inning. I don't know what else to say, Vern. He's throwing 100 miles an hour. Good luck to the other team. You might as well turn the lights out because it's game over when lights out. Lucas Erceg takes the mound. We're going to get it done in New York and bring it back and party in Kansas City next Wednesday. Let's go, roll. Showtime Kansas City, baby. I'm out.
Woo! Oh, I thought you were going to tag me with a woo. I do have the statistics. Yeah, two saves for Lucas Erceg. There's only three pitchers in franchise history with more. Greg Holland saved 7 postseason games. Wade Davis saved 4. Royals Hall of Famer Dan Quisenberry saved 3. And now Lucas Erceg sits alone with the 4th most saves in this franchise's history, which is really just a reflection of the fact that they didn't care about saves back in the 70s and the 80s. Now, no, I understand who you had. I understand what Quiz was doing. But the save statistic, we didn't fawn over it the way we, certainly the way that we have over the past 25 years. Showtime, thank you very much for the phone call. Hey, going back to 1980, the Royals have now won 10 of their last 12 playoff games, in which they had a chance to clinch. Let me clarify that. Right, Royals had a chance to finish off, to sink their claws in, to taste the blood of the Orioles. Dating back to 1980, when the Royals have the opportunity to clinch, they've now won 10 of those last 12 games. Killers. George was a killer. Kane became a killer. Moose became a killer. Bobby's got some fangs. Erceg's got some fangs. Man, Cole Reagans looked like that dude's got some fangs. Angel Zerpa, again, struck a dude out when he hit him with a 97-mile-per-hour fastball. Hit a guy and struck him out. Like, all in one pitch. Threw a 97-mile-per-hour sinker at Colton Cowser. He swung through it, got hit, punched out with a major bruise. That's too bad. Big T and Shawnee, speaking of someone that's grinded through some long, hard years. Big T, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, man, we're partying tonight, Vern. Thanks for taking my call. Great stuff tonight, everybody. First of all, if you want to call in, this is ground zero for a celebration party to let everybody know how you feel. Vern, like you said, it has been a grind. I love baseball. I love my boys in blue, win or lose. And this is why we stick with our team, because of days like this. Woo! We love our Royals. Way to go. I tip my cap to this organization from top to bottom. The young guys, I'm happy. I feel good for the fans, but I feel so great for this organization and all the players. Great job this year. Great season. I heard you talking about Vinny Boom Boom and his skill, and that's a skill. And I'm glad you said that, because it is a skill. He is
driving in runs. Driving in runs is a skill. That's what Big T's talking
about. That's another guy who has fangs and who's a killer in that position. And what he's not human. What he broke is he should not be able to do what he's doing. Way to go, Vinny. Way to grind through it. We love you, man. And Massey, he gets the double, and Vinny drives him in. But what about the defense by Massey? What about the defense by Bobby tonight? And what about MJ and his defense? You said it all year. Pitching, good defense, elite team speed, base running will trump those home run hitting teams, and that's why Baltimore is see ya, be ya, wouldn't want to be ya. And I heard a caller talk, he would like to see Vinny hit a home run on his birthday. Well, I know another guy who has a birthday on that same day, and he'd be happy as hell as well. And Vern, we're going to the Yankees. I grew up, if you're older, a little older than me or younger than me, you remember these series, everybody. You heard Denny talk about it. They were great. They were special. They were wonderful. Their crowds, you can just feel the electricity in the air, even if you're not there. It's just a wonderful thing. I can't wait till we get there. I can't wait till Saturday. And let's punch some Yankees in the mouth. And as always, let's go Royals. Choo-choo! Choo-choo-choo!
Well, you certainly punched the Orioles in the mouth back in 2014, and now once again, 10 years later, Orioles have lost 10 straight postseason games, 60% of those games to the Kansas City Royals. If you missed Matt Quatrero's speech to the boys before the celebration, here you go.
All I have to say is you guys are incredible, absolute fierce competitors, and this never gets old. Let's go!
Royals win 2-1. Quick timeout. We're back with more of your thoughts after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City. 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
And there's a ground ball through that pulled in infield, and it's 1-0 Royals as Massey scores. So there you are. You take advantage of all four infielders in for a play at the plate. And you figure, get the ball on the ground, hit it rather sharply, and there's a good chance that it goes through. And that is exactly what happened.
Denny Matthews, the Hall of Famer on the call, last heard here on 96.5 The Fan, right out of the gate. The Royals punch Baltimore in the mouth as Michael Massey takes a changeup down and in, rips it into right field for a leadoff double. Bobby advances him to third, and as Denny laid out, with the infield pulled in, Vinny Pasquantino rips one through the right side, driving in Michael Massey, putting the boys ahead 1-0. That 1-0 lead would last until the fifth, when Seth Lugo, facing Cedric Mullins, the leadoff hitter there in that fifth inning, Lugo got ahead 0-2, but Mullins laid off some, those pitches weren't all that close. Nonetheless, Cedric Mullins got the count full, and then Seth Lugo put one on a tee for him. And, well, Cedric Mullins is not going to miss that. No, not when you put 93 in the middle of the dish. He knows you need to give him something to hit, and he blasted it 106 miles per hour off of the bat. It travels 398 feet, basically on a line, over the right field wall to tie things up at one apiece in the fifth. It would stay 1-1, for about another 20 minutes. Because in the top of the sixth inning, with one out, Kyle Isbell, a 3-1 offering from the lefty, Cionel Perez. The lefty Kyle Isbell swings over top of it and just pounds the ball off of the plate in front of him, and it skies about 30 feet in the air, and by the time it comes down and is fielded by the Orioles' third baseman, Izzy's already on first with an infield knock. Michael Garcia tried to bunt him over, but missed, and then missed again, and then fouled off the third and struck out. Well, actually, Mike Hell struck out on the bunt attempt in the eighth inning. In the sixth inning, he struck out the old-fashioned way by swinging through a slider in the dirt. So with Izzy on first and now two outs, Michael Massey once again steps to the dish. And in that sixth inning, with the game knotted up at one apiece, Michael Massey goes down for a slider out of the zone and guides it back into center field. Izzy goes first to third, and the Royals have runners on the corners with two outs and Bobby Witt Jr. coming to the dish. Brandon Hyde once again decides, I'm going to let my pitcher face the best baseball player on the planet. Now, he went and got a different pitcher, his second-best reliever in Yainer Cano, the big right-hander, the hard-throwing right-hander. A 1-1 pitch to Bobby Witt Jr., a 93-mile-per-hour fastball in the middle of the plate, 97-mile-per-hour fastball in the middle of the plate. He smokes it up the gut. It's fielded on a great diving play by Jordan Westberg. But instead of trying to get the ball to Gunnar Henderson at second base and get the running Michael Massey, he comes to his feet and tries to throw Bobby out at first. Yeah, right. Bobby's safe. Massey's at second. Izzy comes in and scores. 2-1 Royals. That would be your final score. Bobby Witt Jr. with a game-winning RBI for the second straight playoff game. It just so happened to be his first two playoff games. Royals and Yankees, Game 1, Saturday night, right here on 96.5 The Fan. Let's go to Phil and Shawnee. Phil, always nice hearing from you, buddy. Go ahead.
Great game tonight. I'll only mention one thing. I mean, you can read just about anything on the internet, and I texted in or put in Yankees Royals on my phone and got an article that was written within the last hour about the matchup between the Yankees and the Royals. And the one phrase that stuck with me was the Yankees better bring it on game one because Cole Reagans looms in game two.
Yeah.
When they say somebody looms in game two, they're talking Madison Bumgarner talk now. And this is going to be the greatest week of baseball since the 80s or since the late 70s with all the storylines with the Royals and the Yankees over the years. It's just going to be awesome. And Monday night's just going to be incredible. We got a Monday night football game, and the Royals are at Yankee Stadium at the same time. That's just epic.
It's too much. No, go ahead, Phil. I was saying just those guys playing at the same time is too much.
Oh, I agree. And now that we got Urseg, and how we stole Urseg, and how we stole Reagans, I don't know which is a bigger steal, signing those three guys. But that's, I mean, this is just an amazing job of general management and getting a team put together for a run to the playoffs. And I don't think we'll see anything like this ever again.
Always a strong phone call, Phil. Always give us stuff to talk about, stuff to think about. I appreciate it. It's a great point about Cole Reagans looming in game two. Not to mention, the Yankees have their Cole Reagans on the hill. A guy that's been there, that's pitched in big games, plenty of big games before. The weight of the world is on the shoulders of Gerrit Cole coming up on Saturday. Not only because Cole Reagans looms, but because he's there. Looming figure. He must carve coming up on Saturday. You know, it needs, for the Yankees' sake, it needs to be, you know, Gerrit Cole handing it off to Luke Weaver, and maybe that's your ball game right there. And as far as, yeah, Yankees, Royals rekindling their postseason past hatred, I just can't wait to see George Brett on all the shows telling the stories. You know, watching the video of, you know, Hal McRae running, just colliding into second base and turning Willie Randolph on his head. Watching George Brett punch Craig Nettles in the face after he slides into third. I love that stuff. Royals swept the Yankees back in 1980, 3-0. Lost in 4 in 1978's ALCS. Lost a heartbreaker in 1977 in the decisive Game 5. And the year before, same thing. Lost in 5 to the New York Yankees. That 76-77 teams, according to Denny Matthews, the greatest Royals teams in franchise history. So plenty of demons to be exercised beginning on Saturday. Phil, always nice hearing from you, buddy. 913-586-7965. Let me take a look at the text line. We're getting a lot of text messages. Noah from Osage City. Do you think there's any chance Vinny could play some defense this postseason? I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked if he's putting on a glove and, you know, catching rockets out of the right hand of Bobby Witt Jr. I would be shocked. And I'm not even going to hit you with my normal tagline of, but I'll never put anything past a professional athlete, especially one like Vinny Pasquantino, that goes from an 11th round pick to one of the most clutch hitters in the sports. Vinny Pasquantino, who undergoes thumb surgery and is 2-for-7 with 2 walks and a stake less than a month later in the big leagues in the postseason. It's remarkable. But I would be floored if he's at first base. Certainly in New York, in the ALCS, I guess maybe the World Series, but boy, that's, well, who knows? We'll see. I'm not expecting it. I'll put it that way. 913-586-7965. Vern, when's the deadline to set the ALDS roster, and do you anticipate any changes for this next round? Well, I would imagine the deadline is Saturday morning. Not for certain, but that's normally how it works. Do I anticipate any changes for this next round? The Royals have, what, 11 pitchers? 15 position players? Best of 5-game series? Yeah, I mean, you could add Alec Marsh. Who are you going to take off? You know, coming into this series, I thought Adam Frazier was out, but instead it's Robbie Grossman that's out. If you add an extra pitcher, who's that position player that takes a hike, man? I don't know. That's tough. Is it Adam Frazier? You know, maybe you go Alec Marsh instead of Adam Frazier. You know, that if I was going to bet on any change, that would be the change. But I'd also be perfectly fine if they run this same 26 out there starting on Saturday in the Bronx. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. That's 913-586-7965 from the 816. Vern, do you think Matt Quatrero will win Manager of the Year? I don't, no. No, I think Stephen Vogt of the Cleveland Guardians will win that. Let's head out to the West Coast, talk with Kathy. You're on 96.5 The Fan, as Kathy, of course, our well-known Royals and Padres fan. Boy, what a week, huh, Kathy?
Vern, I'm exhausted. But it's a good exhaustion. So
yeah, yeah.
It's a very happy exhaustion. Hopefully tonight my other team will win. They're winning so far. But yep. I just wanted to say,
is Musgrove okay? I saw him leave the game.
God, I don't know. I hope he is. Okay. They haven't really said a whole lot, but fingers crossed.
Yep.
Last time we swept Baltimore, wasn't that in 14 when we went to the World Series?
Correct, yeah.
So hopefully that holds true again for this year. So
I'm with you on that.
You know, I'm not scared of New York. I think we'll do great. So, you know, the way Bobby's playing, in fact, I've had a lot of people here ask me, it's like, Bobby Witt is just amazing. I'm like, you know it. So he's getting noticed here on the West Coast.
Well, that's nice to hear. Kathy, I'll tell you this. Thanks for the phone call. I don't think people truly understand yet. You know, I gave you that statistic. Bobby with a game-winning RBI in his first two playoff games. The first player to do that since Hall of Famer Jimmy Fox back in 1929. Honestly, I don't even know if Royals fans completely comprehend the greatness that is number 7. And that's no slight to Royals fans. It's just I've heard some Royals fans ask me, you know, you need to explain exactly what makes them so great. I mean, we see the talent. But I've seen a lot of good players. You haven't. Not like this. You know, Carlos Beltran, not like this. George Brett wasn't like this. The entire 2015 team, nobody was like this. the fastest player in the sport, the best defensive shortstop in the league, the batting champion, set the franchise record for extra base hits in a single season, the first shortstop ever to go 30-30 in consecutive campaigns. And his arm is as strong as, you know, the best shortstops in Major League Baseball. So the glove, the arm, the legs, the bat, the power, it's all there. And then you listen to the young man talk. You hear him celebrate with his guys. The humility, the great teammate, the toughness is certainly there, right? He plays 161 games at shortstop, at the top of the lineup. Oh, he's tough. I know he's young and cherubic? Is that the way to say that? You know, he's very, you just want to give him a hug because he's such a nice young man. Just always smiling. You know, he carries himself, honestly, like a little leaguer. You know, like the reason why we fell in love with Salvador Perez. Bobby Witt Jr. has that same energy, excitement, and passion for the game. He's the total package. And he's already committed to Kansas City. He's given his age 20 seasons, all of his 20s. He's already signed him over to this Royals organization. Royals win 2-1. They sweep the Baltimore Orioles and now get ready to take on the New York Yankees in the ALDS. Game 3, Kauffman Stadium, Wednesday, right here on 96.5 The Fan. Let's go back to the phone calls and talk with Double J in Kansas City. Double J, go ahead, buddy.
Phone, what's going on? Hey, well, first, I just want to start off and saying, well, we beat Baltimore back in 2014 and ended up going to the World Series. 10 months ago, we whipped the heart out of Baltimore fans when the Chiefs beat them in the AFC Championship. And tonight, so Kansas City owns Baltimore. Thanks very much. So, but what a game tonight. What a series. Awesome we won it. And how about this bullpen? How about Bobby Witt? Just an awesome game. And I can't wait for Saturday night for the bright lights. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Saturday night. We get to see Bobby Witt versus Aaron Judge. Let's go. The real MVP, number 7 for all Orioles, baby. Can't wait. Let's win this series. Let's go, Vaughn. Thanks.
Got you down. Thank you very much, Double J. Always nice hearing from you. I see Doug from Oregon, Missouri, writing in, Bobby's a beast. Happy to see Salvi and Vinny out there. This was a fun game to watch, Vern. Go Royals. Victor in Raytown says, Vern, the roster change I'd like to see is leave MJ off the roster. Add Robbie Grossman, a professional at bat, a switch hitter. MJ is just not hitting and won't against New York. Matt Quatrero needs to hurt MJ Melendez's feelings. Signed, Victor in Raytown. Well, MJ Melendez made a one heck of a catch today, robbing Ramon Urias of extra bases, a 378-foot leadoff blast in the third inning. A great jump by MJ in left. And he tracks down a ball that would have been a home run at Kauffman Stadium. Great backhanded catch on the run in deep left field, out near foul territory, or approaching foul territory. Great play by MJ Melendez. Two punch outs and a 111 mile per hour exit velocity opposite field single in the seventh. Yeah, I think it'll be a pretty big step backward defensively without MJ Melendez. Now, whether that's Robbie Grossman or Tommy Pham out in left in your world, Victor, if MJ's not on the team. I think the defense takes a hit. I think the home run ability certainly takes a hit. With that short porch in New York, I'm not saying you're wrong, but personally I would want to keep MJ on the roster. Just don't see a need to, especially when you're going to go up against right-handers and Gerrit Cole. Now, I don't expect to see MJ Melendez in Game 2 with Carlos Rodon. But Marcus Stroman, Clark Schmidt, whoever they throw in Game 3, yeah, I want MJ Melendez out there in left field, especially in Game 3 here at Kauffman Stadium with that spacious outfield at the K. MJ knows it well. Knows it better than Grossman, knows it better than Tommy Pham. Victor, always nice hearing from you, buddy, but I'm going to have to push back on that one. 913-586-7965. That's the phone number. That's the text line number as well, as the Royals sweep the Baltimore Orioles in Baltimore and move on to the ALDS. Sean and Waldo's putting his kids to bed, or else he would call up right now. Sean, it's all good, man. I appreciate you listening. I don't know how you're listening to this show while putting the kids to bed, unless... Am I putting people to sleep right now? I hope not. From the 913, Vern, John Sherman's getting that new downtown stadium. Yeah, all right. Again, I'm not really interested in that conversation. You know, that goes back to last year. Every game can't be a... every night, they win, they're getting a new stadium. They lose, they're not getting a new stadium. We can't do that. And they're getting a downtown stadium one way or the other, whether or not they win. I've always believed that, and that's why I've never really discussed it all that much. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. Dan and KCK, you're next up on the postgame show, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, Josh, how you doing? It's been 9 years since we talked postseason. Been too long. So it was a great win, and now we'll be ready for the Yankees. I'll be at my Special Olympics baseball trip Saturday, but I'll be listening to it on my cell phone. I agree with you, Josh. I know George Brett taking that tussle with Greg Mills and Hal McCray taking out Willie Randolph. And how about Billy Martin? He liked to heckle Larry Bureau, and he used to pitch for the Royals. Could he pitch for the Yankees? He thought he was good enough for Catfish Hunter, but he didn't. That's why he trained him to the Royals. I think the Royals will take him out in three. Take care of yourself, Josh.
Appreciate the phone call, Dan. Micah from Olathe writes in that, Vern, all these Kansas City sports teams winning, making my bank account go broke because I can't stop buying all this postseason merch. But Vern, I wouldn't have it any other way. Signed, Micah in Olathe. From the 316, Vern, who's going to hit the first home run this season for the boys in blue? It's a good question. Man, the way Michael Massey's going, right? First inning single yesterday, first inning double today. I don't think he's going to hit a triple, so I'll say Michael Massey, first inning home run coming up on Saturday off of Garrett Cole. And watch those Yankees fans shut up. And pucker up and start to freak out. Oh, that'd be great. Spartan Tony's going to be at the game coming up on Wednesday. Tony, look forward to seeing you. 913-586-7965. Josh from the Northland. Vern, I was doing Ric Flair's woos throughout Lucas Erceg's ninth inning of work. Rally Mantis is already ready to take on the Stankies, as he puts it. The Stankies, according to Rally Mantis. Matt in the SPG says he's listened to every postgame show from Springfield since 2013. And Vern, we are pumped down here. Also, thanking all the producers of the postgame show for posting the podcast after the show. Oh, wow. How about that? You're actually listening to the podcast, too? Oh, man. All right. There aren't many like you, Matt, buddy. I appreciate it. Yeah, if you ever miss the postgame show, subscribe and download the All Things Vern podcast. It's on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Like, subscribe, leave a review, man. The job, honestly, hangs in the balance on things like that. So thank you very much. Devin and Laura in Kansas City are voting Bobby Witt Jr. this November for president. Fine by me. From the 785, Vern, Lucas Erceg is not slamming the door. He's kicking it in and throwing up two middle fingers. That's a nice little throwback for the Royals fans from back in the day that remember middle fingers Davis. Now, the reason why I called Wade Davis middle fingers is because he just always seemed annoyed that someone would have the audacity to step in the batter's box against him. Like, oh, really? Okay. If this is what you want, here, choke on that. All right. Somebody else? All right. You know, here's a 96-mile-per-hour cutter on your hands. Enjoy it. And then Wade Davis would spit as if he was disgusted with what he just did to that hitter. Lucas Urcic's too amped. He's not middle fingers. He's lights out Lucas Urcic. That's already the nickname. From the 816, Vern, there's no doubt about it. The Yankees wanted the Orioles. They want no part of the Kansas City Royals. Yeah, 816, if you heard Denny Matthews, he said it at least four times nearing the end of his broadcast. Yankees, beware. And if Denny's confident, then I'm uber confident. Text line says that Bobby Witt Jr. and Patrick Mahomes are the Spider-Man meme. Well, Patrick has three rings. Bobby's hoping to get his third playoff win coming up on Saturday. But I can get with you on this. Bobby's one of the three best players on the planet. And so is Patrick Mahomes. Now, Mahomes isn't three and he's not two. And as long as Shohei Ohtani isn't pitching, I don't think Bobby's three or two either. So, yeah, you're right. They're the best players in their respective sports. And they're doing something right down there in Texas, I'll tell you what. John in Rutlander, probably pronounced that incorrectly, says he's jacked up after all this winning. He's having a tough time handling it. I feel that, man. I feel that. 913-586-7965. Scott in Phoenix says if the pitching holds up, Vern, Denny Matthews' warning to the Yankees will indeed ring true. From the 816, Vern, respectfully, I oppose the premise of being an obnoxious fan to other fans. It's not sportsmanlike. I can't get on board. And it's the reason I'm not a Chiefs fan after living in town for 30 years. Wow. Well, if you don't want to be an obnoxious fan, great. I got no problem with that. I can't imagine living in this town and not being a Chiefs fan, though. And I didn't grow up here. I've been here, though, for about a dozen years. But, Patrick Mahomes? He did it for me. Now, I grew up in Michigan. Now, as a kid, I was a Lions fan. But last year, on Championship Sunday, I felt nothing for the Lions. I had butterflies in my stomach for that Kansas City-Baltimore AFC title game. You remember how that went. The way things always go for Kansas City teams in Baltimore. Victory. A 2-1 victory today as the Royals sweep Baltimore and move to a perfect 6-0 against the O's in October. Few more from the text line. From the 314, Vern, are all the Chiefs players going to be at the game coming up on Wednesday and Thursday, seeing that they're going into their bye week? I'm sure there'll be some. I would imagine Patrick Mahomes will be in the building, as he is a part owner of the team. I can promise you, Patrick and hopefully his entire family are in the building. But as far as the rest of the guys, man, bye week, I would imagine they're trying to maybe get out of town, go on a quick vacay, or at least see the family for a while. 913-586-7965 from Katie in North Carolina. Vern, I'm going to have to stop listening now because I'm going to go watch the Pine Tar incident on YouTube on repeat. Bring on the evil empire. Sweet dreams, Vern, signed Katie in North Carolina. Eric in Independence says, Vern, the Chiefs knocked the Ravens out. The Royals knocked the Orioles out. Man, there's nothing sweeter than variations of a theme. Let's keep the music going. Good stuff, guys. Kyle in Odessa writes in, if the Royals win the series, they and the Chiefs will be playing on the same time on Monday night? Let's freaking go, Vern. See, yeah, it's cool. I agree. I'm not looking forward to it, though. I like to sit down and drink in Chiefs football. I like to sit down, and lock in on Royals baseball. I'm going to be able to do the latter on Monday, but I'm going to completely miss the Chiefs game on Monday, which is slightly disappointing. The reason why I'm missing it is anything but disappointing. Nurse Jen's listening, hoping that the Royals can stomp out the Bronx Bombers. Tom from Lee Summit says, Vern, after a decade of distant echoes, we will once again hear the crushing sound of Let's Go Royals. Vern writes, this is from Nolan in Osage, Iowa. Vern, I gotta say, this season has been a lot of fun, and you make it so much more enjoyable. Well, that's very nice of you to say, Nolan. Appreciate you listening. I like this from the 816. Vern, I have a new name for this pitching staff, especially if they play the Dodgers in the World Series. The Sherman Oaks. It's not bad. All right, John Sherman's the one that opened up the wallet to bring in the big right-hander Michael Wacha and the 12-pitch arsenal of Seth Lugo. Now, he's the guy that gave J.J. Piccolo the green light to part with whatever you need to part with and bring in the money of Lucas Ursek. Hunter Renfro, Adam Frazier. Yeah, I like naming it after John Sherman. And those dudes are monsters. I don't think people understand how big Michael Wacha is, how big 6'6", 6'7", is up close. That's a big dude. A big dude that coming up on Saturday is going to be sitting mid-90s, but you know that changeup is going to be devastating in the Bronx. Michael Wacha will be making his 7th playoff start as he squares off with Garrett Cole in Game 1 of the ALDS. It's a 5:38 first pitch, military time, 17:38. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 4:30 right here on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Text line, I appreciate it. Phone calls, great job. Royals, holy cow, man, can you believe we're here? Quinn Morris, thanks for the help back at the studio. I'll talk to you tomorrow on Fesco in the morning at 7 a.m. Take care, Kansas City. Thanks for listening.